I'm Pastor Louis, and I'm in the stead of Pastor Mark tonight. He asked me to teach, and so I just got back from a seven-week RV trip with my wife, traveling the nation, seeing my daughter back in New York, and visited friends and family and missionaries and so forth. We had a great trip, but it's great to be back and always be in your own bed. Amen to that, huh? You may have a seat. And let's turn to the scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. It's going to be my passage. I'll give you that again. New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 through 24. For you note takers, I'm going to be throwing out a lot of scripture. So if you're on your iPad or you got your pen and notepad, then write these things down. The topic tonight is sanctification. Can you say that word with me? Sanctification. Wow, that's a million-dollar Christian word, isn't it? You learn a lot of words, great words, when you become born again. Amen? Your vocab changes. You don't say the stuff anymore that you used to say, and you say a whole lot of new things that are just wonderful. And you learn really great, and we would call them multi-million dollar words. Let's say that word again, sanctification. Ready? Sanctification. All right, let's read the text here. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Now, there are three phases to the Christian life. I think you would agree with me. The first phase is salvation. The second phase is sanctification. And the third phase is glorification. Now, you know what I mean, right? Well, we know what salvation is, and that's instant, isn't it? The minute you accept Jesus, guess what? You are born again. And then we have the Christian life, which is the phase of sanctification. And then that is an ongoing process, that's for sure. And then the last phase is glorification. When Jesus comes, that's going to be instant, right? To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So whether you go up in the rapture, that's the way I want to go. That's why I have a sunroof. Or we die. It doesn't matter because we will be with the Lord instantly. So when you get born again, at first there, when you receive Jesus, it's instant. When Jesus comes to get you or you die and be with the Lord, it will be instantaneous. But what about this middle phase we are in? And you and I are in it, aren't we? It's the phase of sanctification. And this is definitely a process. And so what we want to do is just break down the verse phrase by phrase. And so let's do that. It says, may the God of peace. All right. Now, praise the Lord, we have peace. You know, getting back from New York, I had a chance to go in four times into NYC because my daughter just lives an hour and 6 minutes on the train in Bedford Hills going up towards, White Plains and Tarrytown area. And so in doing so, I had never gone through Central Park. And Central Park is cool, you know. So I got off, I took that tour bus, hop on, hop off thing. And I wanted to see where John Lennon, where Yoko Ono built that whole place there in Central Park for her deceased husband, one of the Beatles, John Lennon. It's called Strawberry Fields. And so I went out there, and man, they were all out there just, it says imagine on the ground on this tile, and you can get your, it's a great place for a selfie or your family or your friends, you know. And there was a guy out there just ad-libbing Beatles songs, just singing Imagine and Let It Be and, you know, all the great Beatles songs. As they say, there's never a bad Beatles song, right? And so they're out there just playing, and there's all this harmony and everything. And I thought, wow, you know, praise the Lord, Jesus is in my heart, because I used to sing along with all those Beatles songs, and then when John Lennon went solo, right? But I didn't have peace in my heart. It was just a temporary thing, you know, you're partying or whatever. And then the peace would just go away, or you get in an argument with somebody and all the peace is gone. And you know, that's exactly what happened, because when I left Central Park and got back on that bus, that tour bus, and I finally, it came to the end, and I had to walk down through Broadway and Times Square, I saw the biggest non-peace situation, because there was a brand new white Maserati being driven by a, you know, high profile, you know, young businessman, being hit in the back by a black Beamer, BMW. And the guy that he got out of his Maserati and was yelling at the other guy, and the guy didn't get out, and it was all tinted so you couldn't see the guy inside the Beamer, right? And I thought, what happened to the peace? It's gone. Do we have to just go to Central Park and lay down on that tile and sing Imagine, you know, that there's no heaven? I'm sorry, there is a heaven, and Jesus Christ lives there, and he wants to know us. And I was just thanking God, just going, you know what? What a short-lived peace. But I can have the peace of Jesus Christ in my life at all times. Amen? Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Always let it be there. And don't give it up. If you're starting to strive or whatever, you know, backpedal out of that whole mode that you're in. It's not worth it. The minute you lose your peace, you know it's not of the Lord. You and I have to settle down at times like that. And so it says the God of peace. Now the next phrase, it says sanctify you. Interesting. There's a hint here that the sanctified life is a doorway to a life of peace. Now, I'm looking for more peace in my life. I get stressed out. How about you? You guys ever get stressed? You know, I try not to, but I'm human. I know the Lord. I'm even a pastor. But man, do I have my moments of anxiety. Does that make you feel better, anybody? I mean, big time. The Lord's got to settle me down. And so there's a hint here. Why would Paul, I've never seen this before, why would Paul say, and the God of peace sanctify you? I think this is a hint that the life that is set apart for God is that life that will be a peaceful life. Now, we need to define terms. I'm sorry I didn't do it before, but I am kind of going in order, okay, as far as phrase by phrase. What does sanctification mean? Okay, you note takers, write this down. It means to be set apart. Simple as that, to be set apart. And we could expand that phrase and say, sanctification means to be set apart for God and His highest purposes. All right? We're set apart for God and for His highest purposes. Like, I would say, when a woman gets engaged, you know, that moment's like, she's not going to date anymore. She's all for her future hubby. Isn't that right? You know, when you put a ring on that finger, that's it. You're not going to be going around those dating sites anymore. There's no way. You're set apart for your husband, your future husband. And I think that's a good picture of how we're set apart for the Lord. You know, it's over. Our love for the world, it's over. You know, Jesus is the one we love because He loves us so much. Amen? He gave His life on that cross for our sins. Now, the word for sanctify is closely related to the words holy and saint. It's the same, from the same cognate word form, the essence of the word. So these words are interchangeable: sanctify, holy, and saint. So when the Bible says you are all saints, it means that you're set apart for God and that you are holy. Another word for sanctification is consecration. When you consecrate something, you set something apart. Now you ladies, I know because I'm married to one, you have things in your house that are set apart for certain purposes, right? Like the holiday dishes. Am I talking to you? You have one of those birthday dishes where it says happy birthday to you. You're not going to have, you know, you're not going to put bacon on that, you know, in the morning every day. That's set apart for someone's birthday, that special dish, your grandma's stuff that you have. You know, you might be in that china hutch, you know, off to the side of your dining room. You know, that's set apart, isn't it? You're not going to use that for common purposes. That is set apart for a special occasion. You are set apart for the Lord and for his highest purposes that he has for you. Now, it says completely. May the Lord sanctify you completely. So the goal of the Christian life is to be entirely set apart for God. I'll tell you right now, I am not there. You know, I want to be. Every day I am humbled by who I am. Anybody? Give me a wave. Come on now. I am humbled. You know, I have to face myself in the mirror every day. And even that's scary, just looking at that. But, you know, when you think about, oh, man, you know, I'm not what I should be. I need to be completely set apart for God, and I'm not. My heart strays. But then I was thinking about, you know, Paul in Romans chapter 7. He wrote Romans when he was 30 years old in Christ. He had been a Christian for 3 decades, and he still says, I'm straying, and I'm struggling. See, and it makes me feel so much better. And this is the way I feel it. The more you get closer to the Lord, the more you're going to feel your unworthiness. Because the closer you get to the light, so to speak, the more you see, you know, well, I'm spotted. And so you might be going through that right now. Maybe even like a dilemma in your Christian life. It's like, man, I've known the Lord for so long, and I really feel like not close to the Lord, and these sins are popping up in my life and so forth. And Lord, you know, what's going on? That's what's going on. It's all good, man. It's all good. You're getting closer to the Lord. You're growing. Aren't you glad that you sense that? Just think if you didn't sense it, you know, you would be beginning to stray from the Lord. But you do sense it. You have a conscience about it, see? And so it's all good. So the goal of the Christian life is to be set apart for God completely. Now, I ain't there. I don't think any of us are. I know some really great, beautiful Christians, but I don't think there's one, you know, that's fully there yet. Okay, now Paul goes on and he says, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Let's talk about that, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Let's break these things down the best that we can. First of all, what does it mean, your spirit? And is your soul different from your spirit? And of course, body is kind of self-defined. Well, spirit is that part of you that relates to God. Just write that down, note takers. That part of you that relates to God. That's what your spirit is. Now, when you weren't born again, you know, that you sure weren't relating to God. But once you were born again, praise the Lord, that part of you came alive and all your sins were forgiven. John 3:5, Jesus said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to his mercy that he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now let's talk about the soul. The goal of the Christian life is not only to have our spirit sanctified, set apart for God, but what about your soul? You might say, "Splain, Pastor Louis." Okay, I'm going to do that. Your soul is that part of you that relates to the world and people around you. Your soul is that part of you that relates to the world and people around you. And it incorporates three things: your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay, that's a big thing right now with the new emoji movie coming out for the kids. Your soul is your mind, your thought life. Well, that's a big one, isn't it? Your will, and your will is that part of you that makes self-determination. And we all have that. God gives us, what do we say, a free what? A free will. We have the right built within us by God of self-determination. We can decide what we want. And part of that's really great, especially at lunchtime. What am I in the mood for? Green burrito. Or whatever. No, Carl's, man, have you tasted their new bacon burger? No, man, I want to do Arby's or whatever. Then that's really nice to have that determination, right? What about for things of God? You know, we can choose the Lord. God gave us a free will to choose Him. And that's just when the Lord loves it, when we just say yes to Him and are obedient to Him. And then, of course, back to the emotions, mind, will, and emotions. There are positive emotions, and there are more of the sadder, grayish kind of emotions. And I thank God for them all. You know, I thank God for them all. And it's not just the women who are emotional. Us dudes are emotional, aren't we, guys? Even though we put on that rough exterior, you know. Like in that sad movie. And when Cheryl tries to pull me into these Hallmark movies. Okay, and I got a daughter, too. Dad, come watch this Hallmark movie. I'm not going to watch no Hallmark movie. But they bribe me with popcorn or cookies or something like that, and I'm watching this thing, and the next thing you know, I got this big knot right here. You know, it's just that whole Hallmark formula, you know, just kind of can even get into a guy, but it's like, no, I can't be emotional about this, you know. This is weird, man. But this is that part of me that also needs to be sanctified and set apart for the Lord. You know, so my mind, of course, the thoughts that would glorify the Lord, my will, say yes to the Lord, and my emotions, where it's like, I need to submit my emotions. I'm angry right now. I feel like doing road rage. You know, we went about 7,000 miles on our road trip recently, and guess what? I saw a lot of road rage, and I wanted to jump in and do some road rage too. You know what I hate the most was when people cut in front of you and then slow down. Oh, I hate that. You know, I mean, that's just bad. I mean, first it's rude enough to cut in, and then they slow down. It's like, what? You know, it's like, oh, Lord, I'm a Christian. I need to give my emotions to the Lord. They need to be set apart for the Lord. My thoughts, my will, yes, Lord. I'll say yes to you every morning when I wake up. Yes, Lord. And then my emotions, you know, bring everything unto the Lord to be set apart for Him. And then just I think it bears worthy to mention the order, spirit, soul, and body. Now the world's order is body, soul, and spirit, right? I saw Pastor Chuck one time teach it this way. He put three fingers out. And the Bible says it's spirit, it should be spirit, soul, and body. So when your spirit's on top priority, you're living for God, then naturally your soul will come up under that in obedience, you know, mind, will, and emotions. And of course your body and your body appetites and things like that. No, I'm going to glorify the Lord. I don't want to be a slave to sin, you know, with my body. I want my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit now. I want to be under under the Lord. The world has it all switched around, right? So what's on top? The body and the body appetites. You know, feed me. You know, wake up and all it is I'm just going to go on YouTube and I'm going to, you know, go out there and everything's all about, you know, just satisfying, you know, me, and it's me first all day long and whatever I want to do and experience. It's just the way it's going to be, baby, you know, and that's body, see, and now the soul and the spirit has to be subject to that. When you're born again, it's all flipped. Amen. Hey, I ask you something. When you were born again, did you change a little bit? Why is that? You're born again. Now your spirit's on top. Spirit, soul, and body. And so we should just expect. Don't be surprised about what's going on in the world. And I'll tell you one thing. It's going to get worse. Oh, Pastor Louis, why such a pessimist? Because the Bible says in the last days, we will enter times of apostasy. And the love of many will grow cold. That's what the Bible says, because iniquity will abound. So we haven't seen anything yet. It's just going to still be that flood of dissipation. It's going to snowball. I ask you, are you ready for this? You know, are you ready for this? Don't expect it to get better. I think it was a little bit better like during the 90s and the 2000s and all that. Man, we had all of our Christian concerts and just rocking, you know, ministries. And you walk through the church and you smell burritos, you know, Bible and burritos and all this prosperity. You know what? That day is over. The Lord's getting us ready through the toughness of what's going on in the world. Things that are unprecedented in prophecy, as well as the immorality. I ask you, are you ready for this? Are you going to man up and woman up in the Lord and just say, you know what? It's all for Jesus now, man. I want my spirit to be on top. I don't want my body to rule me and to take me in. And another thing about, I think, the order is, I like it. It says spirit, soul, and body. What that says to me is the Lord works from the inside out. Now, when I first got saved, you'd probably look at me and say, that young man is not saved. I'm telling you, I was just a product of the world. I was a long-haired hippie kind of guy, you know, with bell bottoms even. And just totally pagan, you know, coming out of the pagan world and so forth. And, you know, when I came to church, you know, my old denominational church didn't really know what to do with me. I really didn't fit, you know, when I just came to the Lord and rededicated my life until my friend's mom took me down to Calvary Costa Mesa. And then I thought, wow, you can praise God with electric guitars, you know. But, you know, the quick of my story would be this. I was so into the, you know, the whole rock and roll culture, and be going to concerts all the time here at the convention center here in Anaheim and going up to L.A. and different places, you know. It was just was part of the culture, you know. And then when I came to the Lord, it's like, what do I do with all my records? You know, I have a world-class collection. Like, I got Led Zeppelin 1 through 4, and I got this, that, and the other, you know, I got a lot of Rolling Stones, and I saw the Rolling Stones at, you know, Long Beach Arena in 1972 and with Stevie Wonder and all. And it's like, man, by the way, you know, it's Mick Jagger's birthday today. How old is he? 117 now? And when you were singing that song, you guys, about the satisfied life, I was thinking about Mick Jagger. And what's his song? I can't get no what? Satisfaction. And I've got satisfaction in Jesus. We got to pray for him and everyone else. You know, we had a chance to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. And, you know, I was just looking at all these guys and so forth. And I just still cry out for our generation. Be saved, man. Be saved. Give your life to Jesus Christ and be satisfied. Anyway, so what did I do with my music and my posters on my wall? I used to go to the head shops and had Jimi Hendrix up there and all this kind of stuff. You know what? Without anyone telling me, one by one, I got rid of the stuff. It was really cool. You know, I did it first. Remember the old records? They actually were records. LPs, vinyls. And so some of those bad songs, like on Zeppelin, you know, I would like pick it up and go over. I can't play that one, you know. Next thing you know, it's like I'm only playing one song. And next thing you know, it's like I'm not playing the whole thing, you know. And it got to the point, I went out to the garage and I got a big trash barrel and I broke those records over my knees. And my two older brothers go, Louis, stop it. Man, those are classic. Those are worth so much money. Give them to me. I go, look, if it's not good for me, it's not good for you. Because this is the stuff, you see, that wasn't just neutral. This is the stuff that I was in the world with. And I don't want anything to remind me of my old life. Nothing. Nothing to have a foothold in my old life. And I still have to be careful when I hear those old songs and stuff. And, you know, you ever see that Time Life stuff that comes on TV? It's like the 70s. Bread. You know, and all those songs, it's like, man, it takes me back, you know, to my youth. And it's like, wait, hold on. You know, what did I do in my youth? I'm for Jesus now. Lord, keep me. Keep me in this world. And so you would see me and just go, that young man's not a Christian. But you know what? The Lord changes people from the inside out. And we need to be thinking about that, because even more and more nowadays, you know, look how people look, you know, and the subcultural things that are going on and all the divisions of that. Man, we need to love people and look beyond all that stuff. I remember being judged by my long hair, and even in the church being judged. And it's even more now. Oh, Lord, help us to have that love. And so there's the order, spirit, soul, and body. And then it says to be preserved blameless. Well, that's kind of hard when it's such a yucky world out there as far as the morality that is concerned. But you know, it's posible. It is possible. Philippians 2:15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We live in a crooked and perverse generation. You know, that word crooked is scolios, from where we get our word what? Scoliosis. How many of us have gone to the chiropractor for that, right? And so the world is like what? It's all, you know, Elephant Man. That's what the world is. Twisted Sister, right? And what does Jesus do? He makes you straight. Amen? He makes you straight. And it is possible to not give in to this world and to say, I don't want to be part of that crookedness, that scoliosis. Jesus made me upright. He made me straight up. And I want to walk with the Lord and be a straight up man, a straight up woman for God. Someone saying amen. Now, it says, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. We sang about that tonight. Maranatha, he is coming. And, you know, there's our hope. Jesus is going to come and get us. To be set apart for God in every area of our life. You guys, it's just going to be so worth it. We're almost home. We're almost home. Jesus promised to come and get his bride. She's in distress. He's not going to leave her. We have to hold on to the promises of God and trust the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us in these last days and to stay in the Word of God. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to be set apart for God? Start by reading your Bible when you get up or whenever. You know, and like my daughters, man, they're such night owls. It's like, okay, I'm not going to tell them to read their Bibles in the morning. They come alive at night. I think they even hang upside down or something. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's like whenever. Eat it, you know, study it at lunchtime when you're eating your lunch or whatever. But you'll be set apart by reading God's Word. It's powerful. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we are a work in process. And we're not going to graduate until when? Until Jesus comes to get us. We have so many lessons to learn. I just think the Christian life is all about education. It's all about learning those lessons. Yes, it's enjoying the Lord and so forth, but learning those lessons. Why am I in my job? You know, why am I married to this difficult person? I mean, not me, I'm just saying. Don't let Cheryl get a hold of this tape. But, you know, why am I experiencing these? We're growing, man. Sometimes I ask the Lord, how am I doing? He goes, C minus. Really, Lord? Yeah. Sometimes I flunk. I got to do it all over again, right? But the Lord is so merciful. We just learn those lessons from the Lord. There's so much to learn, you guys. That's why we're here. You might ask the Lord, why am I still here? Yeah, I can't really think of a great ministry I have or everything same, same. You know? Hey, the essence of the Christian life is just to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know? And to pass those tests that he puts in your way right in front of you and I. And then it says, we're in the next verse now, verse 24, he who calls you is faithful, is faithful. Aren't you glad? Because that's a tall order, to be sanctified in this life. Let me tell you one thing, though. We have precedent. I think the hardest culture to ever live in was the Roman culture. Okay? I like to watch Rick Steves. You ever watch the Travel Channel with Rick Steves? He does Europe. And we've been to Europe a lot because we visit missionaries and encourage them. That's our ministry. And I was watching something recently about Rome. And I just go, man, so pagan. And, you know, just a general study of Rome, you know, growing up in school, it just tells us how pagan it was. And those Christians live for the Lord. Now, we're kind of getting close to that now, aren't we? Like Rome of old. But the Christians before us lived that life. And you and I can live it too. It's going to get rougher and tougher. But if you're set apart for the Lord, he will be with you, he will sustain you, and he will get you through all those tough times and make you strong and make you pure. Even when your heart is strained and you want the world and you're being tempted by the world, it's okay to be tempted. Just tell the Lord how weak you are and just say, Jesus, I want you. Out here, I want the world. But in my heart, I want Jesus. I want everything, Lord, that you have for me. Lord, you have to keep me in this world, because if you don't, I'm going to be going astray. I really, really need you, Lord. And it says, faithful is he who has called you. He's so faithful, he will sustain you. He'll forgive you when you fall. You just get up and just keep on going. You don't blame a person for falling. You blame him when he just sits down there and doesn't get back up. Man, when we were out in Norco for those 21 years with the church, Calvary Chapel, it's all about horses out there. It's an equestrian community. And there would always be that phrase, get back in the saddle. You know, and that's what we had to teach my daughter. She had a spirited Arabian horse, and she got thrown one time. Fortunately, she was in a soft dirt arena. But I said, Lindsay, you have to get back on right away, or else you'll be in fear. And you meet a lot of people who say, oh, I hate horses. You know, why? Oh, I was thrown off when I was 5. You have to get back on. And you know what? You conquer, just like the Christian life. And so 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. You know, thank God for that. We shouldn't give up on ourselves when God never does. Never give up on yourself when God never does. He believes that you can do it. You can walk with him. You might have always felt like a Class B weak Christian. So what? Keep walking with the Lord, and you'll just zoom by other people eventually who think they're the Class A Christian. Because you're humble, and you're not proud, and you rely upon Jesus each and every day to walk with him. And then it says, who also will do it. That's the cherry on top. God is going to do that work. Praise God, sanctification is a work of God in our lives. You can't do it in yourself. You can't do it in yourself. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 3:18 on this. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What a great verse. You guys, we go from glory to glory. You know, so many of us compare ourselves with others. Oh, if I could just be like Greg Laurie. If I could just be like Pastor Mark or Pastor Steve, they're so on fire for the Lord. You know, don't compare yourself with somebody else. The Bible says that you and I are being transformed into the same image of Christ in gradations. We go from glory to glory. We think, oh, if I could just be like when I first got saved. Sorry, it's not that way. You know what that is? You might be deceiving yourself thinking, oh, that's my first love. That's not your first love. Picture it like a married couple. You know, they're all googly-eyed when they first get married, right? Jonathan Gracie in the house. You know, they don't walk around here. They float. They're always holding hands, looking at each other, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. As time goes on, guess what? You start having babies. You get a mortgage. You get three dogs. You know, a crazy psychotic cat on your curtains. Jobs, responsibilities. You're not going to feel like you used to first couple years of marriage. No way. What is it? It's commitment, isn't it? What is love? It's not a feeling. It's a choice. I love Jesus. He loves me. And he's working in my life from glory to glory. Just want to make some concluding notes. Let me say this. Let's talk about what sanctification does not mean. What sanctification isn't. Well, it doesn't mean to be spiritually proud or superior like the Pharisees in Jesus' day. Right? Remember those guys? Let's go to Luke 18:9-14. Luke 18:9-14. Now I'll make you guys work with the Bible passages here. Luke 18:9-14. And Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Look how arrogant he is, and just self-inflated. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Well, that's real humble. Extortioners, unjust, punk rockers, adulterers, or even, as this tax collector, I fast twice a week. Whoopee wow. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus concludes, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So sanctification, it's not just what you don't do, okay? But it's the essence of it is that you just love the Lord and you're set apart for His highest purposes. And you walk with the Lord, but you're not proud about it because you know who you are. And that's all we have to do is just keep humble. Know who we are. Amen? You know your strengths. You know your weaknesses. You know that you have a Heavenly Father. You have a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit strengthening you and empowering you each and every day. You have your good times, your bad times, your happy days, your gray days. Christians suffer with disorders, mental illnesses, all kinds of things. But guess what? Jesus loves us, and there's hope in following the Lord. And finally, what sanctification doesn't mean, it doesn't mean to separate yourself entirely from sinners like the monks of old. Remember those guys? All that they did? We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so a mistake the church made back in the Middle Ages was what? Through monasticism, they separated themselves completely, you know, from the world. And I remember studying this in church history. Kind of got really goofy. You know, there's these one guys that lived in trees. I want to be close to God, live in a tree and away from people. It's like, okay. One guy lived for decades up in the top of a tree. He thought he was so holy, you know. And people just getting away. It's not getting away. You know, we would love to have a cabin in Big Bear, right? I just want to get away. You know what? Jesus is our escape. Amen? Jesus is our vacation. Through Him, we have the peace. Through Him, we don't have to fantasize, you know, about lighter times because we can face reality, even harsh reality, because the Lord is with us and He's keeping us. We don't have to retreat. John 17:15, the great prayer of Jesus to the Father. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That's a good one. I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but that you keep them. We like to say, water off a duck's back. And it's true, right? Those ducks go down and they come up and all that oil on their feathers and all, it just beads up, you know, like a good car wax and just falls right off. That's why the ducks can do what they do and enjoy it. And we're in the world, but not of the world. See, it's kind of like a ship. It's great that the ship is in the ocean, but make sure the ocean doesn't get inside the ship because you're going to sink. And so you don't want to tip too far over there into the things of the world. But we're in the world, but not of the world. Some of us have thought, if I can just get out of this job, or, you know, my roommates are so pagan. And, you know, a lot of us suffer in this church with that. A lot of us are from the only Christian in our family, you know. And it's hard to go home. You know, you fly home from church, you're all got the Holy Ghost hangover, you know, going on, and or the afterglow, I should say. And you go home and they're all watching foul stuff and this, that, and the other, and barbecuing in the backyard and just, you know, bending their elbows with a bunch of alcohol and profanities. And it's like, Lord, why am I here? Why did you put me here? At work, maybe it's the same thing. You know, we need lights out there. Jesus Christ will be our strength so we can manifest His love to this world that is in desperate need of Jesus Christ. So there's a good prayer that Jesus prayed. So be set apart for God in this world. Be ready for God to use you and to use you for His highest purposes. Let's stand and pray together. Let's spend a time of consecration now to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the apostolic challenge of Paul. And Lord, we know that you inspired him to say these words to us, that we would be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body, that we would be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that it's a work that you want to do in its entirety. And we thank you for your faithfulness in helping us to reach that objective that is laid upon every Christian. Lord, we know it's a long road between salvation and glorification. We get tired, Lord, sometimes. We watch the world just give in. They wake up, their flesh is probing out there, and they just eat it up all day long. And their life seems to be so easy. And yet, we are called to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and to follow Jesus. To lose our life that we may find it. And to be on that narrow road. For wide is the road to destruction. We ask, Lord, that every day we could live with that godly perspective. Lord, I'm asking you to strengthen us. We want to reconsecrate our lives to you. We ask that you would forgive us, Lord, of compromise. We ask that we would bone up, shape up, Lord, in those areas that are weak right now. Many times we tell you, we can't do it. And it's good that we say that, Lord, because you want us to be honest. But you also want to tell us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That we can be overcomers in this life. We don't have to succumb or to be overcome. And so we ask you, Lord, for a filling of your Holy Spirit right now. For your beautiful people, your children. We ask for a fresh baptism. Lord, a Pentecost that would come down upon us, Lord. That we could leave this place and be empowered, Lord, to go home in love. To go home and keep at it. To go to our jobs. To live that life in our family environment for Christ. Lord, that we would be winsome for you everywhere we go. We ask, Lord, that you would lift up those who have been depressed. We ask for those who are suffering disorders and mental illness, which is so wide in the body of Christ now because we live in that age of anxiety. And we ask, Lord, for strength for them. We ask for that beautiful, wonderful renewing in their minds and in their hearts and in their emotions. We ask, Lord, that we would be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time to listen to your word, to worship tonight, and to now pray. And to lay everything out before you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and pray that you would come soon. But until then, Lord, strengthen your people. Thank you for being so faithful and doing it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord one more time.